you're just here visiting or returning, and if you're joining us online, it's good to have you here, good to meet together, especially good to worship the Lord together. That is our great privilege. Well, we had a great time in our home group on Thursday evening. I hope you did in yours. We're looking at Psalm 19, and the last line is the first line of our first song this morning. It talks about love and the greatness of love for God's word, and it ends with a couple of prayers, and it says, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we're going to sing that song on the second part of the first verse. It says, your grace, a well too deep to fathom, your love exceeds the heavens' reach, your truth, a fount of perfect wisdom, my highest good and my unending need. Let's stand and sing. I meant to say at the beginning that we're having a time of singing after the evening service. If you've got a choice of song or hymn that you'd like to sing, then do let me know. We'll try and fit that in as well. Well, let's turn to our Bible reading this morning. We have two at the moment. First one is in Psalm 122, which is on page 517. Coming down the road, there's that indicator sometimes, isn't there, when its battery's fully charged. And if you're breaking the speed limit, you're going over 40, there's a red angry face or sad face. And if you're keeping to the speed limit, there's a nice green smiley face. And I've often think, what if that was a barometer of my attitude coming here to church to worship God and to be with God's people? Is it something that is for me a chore, or it is low priority and the red light sort of coming on? Or is there a joy in my heart? Is there a joy in your heart to be here this morning to worship God? See the high importance and value of being together to encourage each other as Christians, to build each other up in this hostile world. And so it's good for us to be here. I wonder what light would have shone this morning as you drove down. Well, let's read Psalm 122. And for David and those who are going up to Jerusalem to worship God, I mean, they were proper green lighters. Get in there and keen to worship God. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. It was decreed for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There, thrones for judgment were set, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and may they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And our second reading is in Acts chapter 2, which is page 911. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 42 to 47. Many people were converted through the preaching of Peter, a huge amount of people, and this, what we're going to read, became their normal way of life, how they interacted and spent time together as Christians. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Well, let's pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is for us to meet here this morning. We may have had a hectic week. We may have had some bad news this week. We may have, our world feels like it's falling apart. We may have struggled financially, we may have struggled spiritually, we may have struggled mentally, we may have struggled with ill health. The future might seem bleak to us, but Lord, we come here this morning to the God who never changes, the God who is eternal, the God who has no end, no beginning, and all of our problems are just small to you. There are no big problems. We have big problems sometimes, but all of them are just small to you and well within your capability to meet our every need. You are the fountain of life, and Lord, we are drained and we are wearied by the deception and the pressure and the everything going on around us in this world. We're weakened by ourselves, our own frailty, our own sinfulness, and yet in Christ we have fullness of joy. We have the hope that is brought to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's why we meet here today on the Lord's Day, because Jesus not only died for our sins, but rose again on the third day to bring us life, to bring us hope, to bring us joy. And so, Lord, we want to come this morning with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of joy and praise to you. Lord, we want to be taken up with the greatness of God. We want our own thoughts of ourselves and our situation just to sit on the side just this morning, so that we might be taken up with the greatness of God, that we might be filled with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, because it will then put everything else in our lives in its rightful place. It will give us strength for what we face this coming week. It will give us peace in the storm. It will give us a confidence in your word, the unchangeable word of God, and your promises which can never be broken. And Lord, we pray that today you will strengthen us in our faith. Lord, I pray for every Christian here. Pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll give them your peace. I pray that you will smile on them and bless them indeed. I pray that they will have a deeper knowledge and understanding of the love of God for them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless their spiritual lives, that they will flourish like a fruitful tree, that our roots will be grounded deep in the word of God, so that when the storms do come, and they will do, we'll be standing straight and strong in your word, unmovable, because we are on a good foundation. And Lord, if our lives feel they're falling apart and we realize that our foundation is shallow and shifting sand, as we base our lives on what we have, on our achievements, oh Lord, point us to Jesus Christ, who is everything that we need, that we'd have faith in him this morning if we don't have already. Draw us to the cross, where our greatest needs are sorted out, our sin is dealt with, life is given, peace is given, adoption into the family of God is written out and signed off. Our freedom, our justification from our sin, our peace with God. Oh Lord, what a privilege it is to be a Christian. And we want to celebrate and rejoice in that today, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing our second song now. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And after this, John will lead the children's talk.
Thank you. Well, nice to talk to you. And you may know that we've been away to America as part of our sabbatical. And in America, there are some big cities. Can anyone name a big city that is in America? Yeah? San Francisco? That's right. Anyone else know another big city of the USA? New York. New York, and I just want you to think a little bit about New York, because we went to Washington and New York. And in the middle of New York, or the main part of New York, where a lot of the famous bits are, it's called Manhattan Island. I've got it up there. There we go. There's Manhattan Island. It's got lots of skyscrapers on. And it's an island, so it's surrounded by water. So how did we manage to go there by car or walk across to it if it's an island? A bridge. A bridge. We needed a bridge to get across. Maybe you've been to London and you've crossed some really big bridges across the Thames. Well, we wanted to go across, so we went across. That's the way we went across. We drove across a very busy bridge called the George Washington Bridge, because there was a gap, a big gap. There's a really deep river, or the sea surrounding Manhattan Island, and we couldn't get across, so we needed something to bridge the gap. And we went across the George Washington Bridge in our car. And you know, the Bible says there's a big gap that we need to be thoughtful about. And that big gap is between us and God. And it's a gap that's there because we've done wrong. It says our sins have made us separate from God. And the fact that we haven't loved God as we should, or loved others as we should, means there's this big gap and we're not with God like we need to be. The Bible says that God has made a bridge to cross the gap so that we can be close to him and be back with him. And here is a verse I want one of you to read. I've put it from the children's Bible because it's a bit simpler. The adults will know the other version. Are you going to read it, Katie?
There is only one God, and there is only one way that people can reach God. That way is through Jesus Christ,
who is also
Amen.
Thank you. So, God has bridged the gap between people and himself, and that bridge is a person. And that bridge is the person who's Jesus Christ. And bridges usually have to really touch both ends, don't they? They need to come from both ends. It's no good crossing a bridge which stops in the middle of the river and just drops, is it? You need one that's there at both ends. And Jesus Christ is God and man. And he is a bridge between God and man so that we can be safe and saved. He died on the cross to take away people's sins. So God has given a bridge for us to cross the gap. Now we crossed another bridge on another evening back to get to Manhattan Island. I'm going to do a picture of that one now. This is a famous one. This is called Brooklyn Bridge. Okay, and it's a great bridge to cross at night. All the skyscrapers in the background you can see with all the lights. And there's a very busy bridge with lots of cars. But there's a walkway above the road as well, across the bridge. So what do you think we needed to do to get across to Manhattan? We needed to walk across the bridge, didn't we? That's the way we got to the other side. And you know, in a way, that's what we need to do ourselves. To get right with God and to be back with God, we need to walk across the bridge that he's made. That is, we need to trust in Jesus and have Jesus as our rescuer and leader. By doing that, we walk across the bridge. I wonder if you cross the bridge to God by going over Jesus, his son, who is the bridge. Of course, round New York, there are lots of bridges. In fact, there are 21 bridges to Manhattan. It's different, isn't it, to God. There's not 21 bridges to God. Let's come back to our verse again. Somebody else read it for us this time. Who's going to read it for us this time? Yep, do you want to do it? So there is one way God has made. Jesus is the bridge. We need to cross him. I wonder if you've crossed to God by trusting in Jesus. Thank you for listening. Okay, you can head back. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Let's pray again. Lord, how we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the one way for us to be saved. And we want to confess this morning, like Peter did, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the words of eternal life. Lord, we put our trust in you, and we want to declare that there is no other way to heaven but Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we put our trust in him once again this morning. And again, thank you from our hearts for your wonderful grace towards us. We have contributed nothing apart from our sin and our rebellion and everything that would have turned you away from us. But your love toward us is such that you spared not your only son, but gave him up for all of us. Oh Lord, what an amazing salvation that is. Show us how much again that we needed that and need it still every day, and how that it has changed us from death to life. Lord, thank you for our children, and we think of Thrive and Rooted with our last Sunday next week, this academic year. We just commit to you the teachers who have just worked so hard over this past year to prepare lessons, to give lessons, to invest time in the children and young people. We pray that they'll have a really good break over the summer. And we ask that the things that have been learned by the children will be like seeds planted, not just randomly, but Lord, we pray that you'd prepare their hearts to be the good ground where the seed will sink in, will germinate, will grow, will bring spiritual life. Lord, that is our greatest prayer. And we ask for the patience of a farmer who, once he's sowed his seed, will have to wait many days before there's fruit. Help us not to be discouraged in the work of the Lord. Those of us who teach, those who preach, those who share their faith. Lord, help us to be encouraged that there will be a harvest. There will be a great harvest of souls into your kingdom. And so, Lord, whether we have times of success or discouragement, help us to be faithful to do our bit in this short life that you've given us. So bless the work of Thrive and Rooted. We commit to you next year already, and we pray, Lord, for new children to be coming along, for contact with new families. We pray for other outreach to children, for Connect, for the Lighthouse coming up. And as you've helped us in the past, it gives us confidence as we face the future. And we pray for your blessing on those times. We pray to you for camp and YPs, lots being planned by the leaders who work so hard and give up so much time and energy and thought to the activities and to the talks. Lord, we ask once again for your blessing on those times this year. Thank you for many who perhaps can't practically help but can pray, can be supportive in many different ways. We thank you for the teamwork and the effort that goes behind these things. We pray for your blessing on them. We pray for John and Mark today as they preach for us. We pray for the time that Martin's had in Lewis Prison this morning. And we pray for the Christians there, those who are seeking. Lord, we pray that they'll be encouraged through their Bible study and service times. We thank you for that ministry. It reminds us that people meet in all different situations across this world, freely, as we do, in greater number, often in very fewer number. But many meet in secret. Many meet in fear of their lives. Many can't meet. Lord, we commit to you, your people throughout the world, in whatever situation they find themselves in. Lord, we pray for the progress and success of the gospel, even under fire and under persecution. We know there are no bounds to the power of your word because it is powerful and living. And Lord, that gives us great confidence that we share the gospel with whoever, whenever. Give us the confidence and the boldness to do that. Lord, we so often don't, but we pray for your help to be bold in sharing our faith with others, even this coming week. And so, Lord, we ask that as we hear your word this morning, that you would open our hearts to be submissive to the authority of your word. If we are your people, we have Jesus as our Saviour, but not only that, we have him as our Lord and our Master. We come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What he says we will do, where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to grow in our trust of you. Help us to grow in our obedience of you as we come under your word. So bless us, build us up, Lord, we pray. And I commit each one of us here to you this morning. Amen. Well, we have one further reading, and it's in Hebrews chapter 10, which is on page 1007. And we're going to read from verse 19. Chapters leading up to this talk about the Old Testament priests and high priests and how that in Old Testament times their sacrifices that they performed for people didn't really have a lasting effect. It just pointed forward to Jesus, who made one sacrifice for all of God's people, and it was sufficient. And the writer says, therefore, brothers, because of this, because of everything he's previously said about Jesus's sufficient sacrifice and the great high priest he is, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, John will be preaching to us from those verses in a moment, but we're going to sing one more song together. Let love be found among us, a love from God alone. Let's stand and sing.
So last week, for those who were here, we had the theme continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. And we're sort of going into a little mini-series through July, as it turns out now. A bit connected, especially at the start, towards my time away. And this week we land on an important theme, which is continue meeting together. Continue meeting together. Well, you might say, well, that's a bit rich coming from you. You've hardly been around for 3 months. Continue meeting together. Well, that would be a fair point in many ways, although one of the great blessings in being away has been to meet together with others Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or where really couldn't to tune in. So we have had this blessing ourselves and enjoyed it in those months. Continue meeting together. Now, I haven't got slick headings for you this morning, but I'm going to put a few phrases up just to sort of chart the course over the things that we're going to consider. And the first is that we've got some questions, a few questions just to get us thinking. How do you view meeting together as a church? How do you assess it? How do you view it? How do you feel about it? Perhaps it's, the whole thing's new to you and you're just sort of processing it, I understand that. But for those who haven't been familiar with it for longer, how important is it to you? What do you prioritise it above? And what do you prioritise it below? Does it come in the pecking order? How much good does it do you? How much good does it do you? On the day? So that's over time, as a pattern. What's your aim in coming? What's our aim in coming? What's your aim in coming? Is it for God? Is it for you? Is it for others? While I was away, I was impressed freshly and again with the great blessing of the church. It's a wonderful invention of God, the church. We're not talking about the building when we think of church here. We're talking about people, believers. I guess this might come out in the autumn. We're wondering about doing a series in Ephesians. And that theme of the church will probably weave its way through that if we go through Ephesians. The church is just is God's design. The church, really, the word means gathering or assembly. So people who are, if you like, gathered in Jesus and that they found in him hope, peace, they're right with God, forgiveness. They've been gathered, assembled in Jesus and found his love. Also reflect that by gathering together. They enjoy meeting together. They're one in Christ and they like to show that by meeting. And yes, we've got different temperaments, haven't we? And some of us, we love a good social and other of us are reserved and retiring and a bit private. And there's room for different characters. But beneath all that, still a love to meet together. Well, I think we've been blessed here over the years with an attitude of so many who do love meeting together. And I want to encourage that this morning. And we'll do so by especially looking at two verses in Hebrews 10. The last two verses read to us there, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And it's part of three lettuces, if I can put it like that. Three lettuces. Here's a letter to Jewish Christians, And they were under threat. They were under great pressure. It was hard to keep going as a Christian. And maybe it is for you sometimes. And they've been reminded, as John was telling us, how amazing it is to have Jesus. How Jesus is better than everything. You're so privileged if you know Jesus for yourselves. And in verse 19 of this chapter, he pulls all of it together in a wonderful summary, which leads on to three sort of encouragements or exhortations or let us's. And you have it in verse 22, let us. Verse 23, let us. Verse 24, let us. I have spoken before about the first two. I think I did so when I came back from Israel, and they seem so relevant from our trip to Israel. Let us draw near. Keep coming back. Keep crossing the bridge. You have access. The bridge is there. Keep going to God. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. You have a hope. Don't let anyone take it from you. But especially we're going to be focusing on verses 24 and 25 this morning. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're encouraged here to be good stirrers. To be good stirrers. Now, when we think of stirrers, I don't know what you think of when you think of stirrers, but we usually think of troublemakers. Stirring up trouble when there's somebody in the group, or maybe amongst your staff team, or somebody in the class, or maybe somebody in the congregation, and they just seem to bring trouble with them and stir things up, agitate things, upset people, and perhaps it's a relief when they move on. They're no longer in the team. But here the stirring is of a different kind, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We have an impact on others. We stir things up, we provoke things, but we provoke not agitation, but love and good works. And you think of back to your chemistry lessons, and you have this little glass stirring rod. And sometimes you mix substances, maybe there's a solid that goes in the beaker and a liquid, and things don't really happen unless you put the stirring rod in and you stir things, and then you get your bubbles, and then the reaction happens, and then you can assess things. It's being stirred up. And we're to look to do that to one another, it says. To stir up in one another love and good works. Do you stir in that way? Do I stir in that way? God has put us together. If you can put it like this, you have individual sports, don't you? So if you've been following Wimbledon, especially if you follow the singles, it's very much a one-to-one sport. You've got one person, and it's about their serve, and it's about their volleys, it's about their forehand, it's about their psychology. They're on the court on their own. Although I have noticed that they're allowed to talk to their coach across now. They didn't used to be able to do that. They can have a little bit of exchange. But largely, it's an individual sport. And then you have football. And it's about formation. And it's about team. And it's about position. It's about passing. It's about assist. It's about getting the best out of others. Following Jesus is a team project. It's not tennis singles. We are together and we're to have an effect on one another. And it's something to give thought to, because this verse tells us so. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We think about that, how we can help and encourage others. As we head into another week, can I do some stirring of a good sort. As we meet together and head to a meeting, who can I help and encourage? Might sound a bit laborious, but of course, as you're doing it, remember others are doing it to you as well, which is a great bonus. And there's this community of stirring and encouragement, and he says, let us carry on doing this. It's more difficult if we never meet. If we get into bad habits. We talk of bad habits, biting nails, eating too many biscuits, going to bed too late, never exercising. Well, here's another one in verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So some of them were neglecting meeting together. They could have been there, but they weren't there. It had gone down their priority list. They just sort of left it behind. They got out of the habit. Maybe it was a result of fear. It wasn't easy being a Christian where they were. Maybe their initial enthusiasm had just sort of stalled a bit. It was a bit of a, well, I just can't be bothered. I don't feel like it. It seems too much effort today. And they needed to develop again a good habit of coming. What do you think of when you think of habits? Habits sometimes get a bad write-up, don't they? Because habits can be empty, they can be for show, they can be so meaningless, they can be just mere tradition. But good habits, great habits, great customs, great patterns, great routines done in a good heart can be great friends in our lives. Now, obviously, there are reasons when we can't meet together. There are health issues. Some are involved with essential work that must be done at that time. Some are involved with caring for people. They have dependents. Some have pretty complicated family situations that need working through. There can be just emergencies which come up. And the Lord knows all these things. And we work out our pattern according to the Lord and his knowledge of the situation. But is there a good desire to meet together? Is a priority wherever possible? Is it really high up the list? I think in many ways there's been a changing attitude in some churches. There was perhaps in the past such a resolution to come to all services that people would almost be stretchered in their dying moments to make sure that they made the service. And maybe sometimes that was a bit rigid and a bit excessive and it didn't take into account other things. But the pendulum so easily goes the other way. When it depends on our mood, when something else crops up, when we get a better offer. What habits are we into in terms of meeting with Christians? Are good habits, or like the Hebrews, have we slipped into bad habits? And we're going to zoom out a little from these verses a bit. Because I want to just take a slightly broader view and remind us that it is a Bible pleasure to meet together. In the Bible, people were happy when they could meet together. We had Psalm 122 read. John and I hadn't liaised about smiley faces before this morning, but I put one on the PowerPoint. Here you have a happy scene. And why is the person happy? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So he's got the opportunity to worship and he can go. And here's a smiley face. It's a joy. It's a Bible pleasure. We come to Psalm 42 and we have a sad face. We have a sad face in Psalm 42. It's a psalm of somebody who is a bit depressed. It can be helpful for us if that's our frame of mind. But why? What is one of the aspects as to why he's depressed? Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within you? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. So he was low and cast down. And part of it was, I can't be with the people worshipping like I want to be. It's a Bible pleasure, and when it's missing, there's sadness. And this morning, it's good for us just to pause to take thought for some of those that we've known and loved, and they can never get out. And yes, sometimes they can watch online, and that's a tremendous provision, but it's not quite the same. And week after week, they feel a bit of Psalm 42, because they're not like you and I, where we can be here. Good to remember that. It's a Bible pleasure. It was certainly a great pleasure to the early Christians. In Acts 2, we read some of that. Let me pick out two verses to show their commitment to it and their joy of being together. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. The basic Bible pattern is of joy in meeting together. God assembles people so that they can be blessed by mutual encouragement. Three illustrations which came to mind. Well, in fact, if you think three is many, I did have four, but I decided it was too many, so we've just got three. A young deer or young gazelle. You're watching the nature programs. Like me, you're a bit reserved about whether to watch them, especially these bits. And there's a prowling big cat, maybe a lion or a cheetah, and the young gazelle has moved away from the herd. The camera goes on them. They're there. And the young gazelle is over there, and you're saying, no, no, don't, get back. Be with your buddies, stick with your buddies, because you know what the lion will do to the one on its own. There is a safety in being together. Think of emperor penguins. They're a funny breed, aren't they? Waddling along. They survive in the coldest place on earth. In the Antarctic winter when it's minus 40, we think a British summer's a bit cold. Minus 40 in the Antarctic in the winter. How do these emperor penguins keep going? Well, part of the key is they huddle together, don't they? You've seen the nature programs and they amass in their thousands and stick close together. In fact, they even rotate. You've probably seen this. It's not a case of I'm in the middle and you stay on the outside. They've got an organized rotation system so that they take it in turns to be on the outside. And what would you think of one of the penguins if one of the penguins said, I don't need you lot, I'm going it alone? Well, you'd have one frozen solid penguin very soon, wouldn't you? For warmth and life. I need to be together. Let's turn to vegetation. The biggest trees? What are the biggest trees in the world? Anyone know what the biggest trees are? Redwoods. Yeah, that's what I understand. It's the redwoods, especially the redwoods of West America, coastal redwoods, Canadian redwoods, and they can grow to over 300 feet. To over 300 feet. It's amazing, isn't it? Strangely enough, though, their roots don't go very deep. Found out this week, their roots don't usually go down more than 10 or 12 feet. Doesn't seem much for something that's 300 odd feet, does it? How is it that they're not toppled over? Well, they're generally in forests and in clumps, and although their roots don't go down deep, they go a long way. They go about 60 to 80 feet horizontally, and they all intertwine together to give them stability, so that they're not blown over because they're so intermingled. There is stability in being together, in meeting together. So for safety, for warmth, for stability as a Christian, we need to be together. Let's go a little bit further in our verse. Why should we meet together? What is our aim in meeting together? So it's good to worship God, isn't it? So much in the Bible about worshipping God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. There's just so much to encourage us to worship God. Privilege of doing it together. It's good for our souls, isn't it? You hear the word, truth is sung, it's a blessing to you. It's a sort of spiritual feast day. That's true. Here, interestingly though, it especially emphasises that we meet for the sake of others. For others. I'm not sure we always think this way. We live in a very individual society, and we think, well, what will I get out of it? And yeah, I'll go if it suits me. But here, it's couched in verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It followed on from the let us of 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Meeting together is an act of love to help others. You realise what just your presence, the effect of your presence has on others? I suspect you overlook it. I think we do. Your friends get a boost, you know, from just seeing you here. Much bigger boost than you realise. Younger Christians are encouraged when they see older Christians they respect here and they can speak to them. It has a great influence on them. You have multiplied voices. I stood at the front singing that first hymn, My God, My Rock and My Redeemer. And it was a blessing to have you all behind me. If just one of you was behind me singing, well, I would have thought, yeah, these are good words. But I felt the sense of enthusiasm. I thought, I love these words and I love that Redeemer. And there was something special about being able to sing together. And when you come, you help that. Your blessing, your presence is a blessing. Others go into a week encouraged in living for Jesus because you're here. And it's more than just our presence. It is an opportunity to listen, to befriend, to encourage. But encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. You know the civil rights campaigner, Martin Luther King, in the United States last century. Brave man. But even he needed encouragement. And in his autobiography, he writes about one of his supporters whose name was Mother Pollard, older lady called Mother Pollard. This is what he writes. On a particular Monday evening, following a tension-packed week, which included being arrested and receiving numerous threatening telephone calls, I spoke at a mass meeting. I attempted to convey an overt impression of strength and courage, although I was inwardly depressed and fear-stricken. At the end of the meeting, Mother Pollard came to the front of the church and said, "Come here, son." I immediately went out to her and hugged her affectionately. "Something is wrong with you," she said. "You didn't talk strong tonight." Seeking further to disguise my fears, I retorted, "Oh no, Mother Pollard, nothing is wrong. I am feeling as fine as ever." But her insight was discerning. "Now you can't fool me," she said. "I know something is wrong. Is it that we ain't doing things to please you? Or is it that white folks is bothering you?" Before I could respond, she looked directly into my eyes and said, "I told you, we is with you all the way." Then her face became radiant and she said in words of quiet certainty, "But even if we ain't with you, God's going to take care of you." And he said he often looked back on that in his life to the encouragement of Mother Pollard. Well, you're not a Mother Pollard and you're not a Martin Luther King, but in our way we can encourage one another, point them to the Lord, give them something which just helps them as they face the rest of the week as a Christian. Encouragement can be key to our survival as a Christian. He'd already said earlier in this letter, Hebrews 3 verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in you any evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We need others. It's for others, as well as ourselves and the Lord, that we come. There's this book called How to Walk into Church. I managed to clip a little bit for my top corner there. How to Walk into Church. And it's a helpful little book. And how do you walk into church? Well, he gives an answer. It's a thought-provoking answer. Slightly glib, maybe. Thought-provoking. He answers his question. How should you walk into church? And he says, by praying who to sit next to. By praying who to sit next to. That's not the only thing you think of, and you probably always sit in the same place. That's not an issue anyway. But what he's saying is an openness to God, prayer, and a desire to bless others. Who can I sit next to and encourage? Meeting together for others. So, continue meeting together. For some, maybe, the mornings got very irregular. The morning service, when it needn't have done. For some, the evening or the Thursday prayer meeting or the home group was very much part of the pattern. But it's not now, and it's only sort of half good reasons that it's all left off. For all of us, coming together with an attitude to encourage and bless others by our presence, perhaps by a listening ear, and maybe by our conversations and our words. There's a finishing line ahead. We're getting closer. As we get closer to seeing the Lord, we want to encourage each other increasingly. So it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, it's been quite a practical theme. It sometimes helps just to have a little few moments to take stock and to pray, doesn't it? So we'll do that before we sing two final songs. I'll give us a minute first. Well, there's two songs I thought it would be good for us to sing at the end. The first is based on a psalm. We're singing three verses of psalm as it occurs in praise. And then we're going to lead on to another one, which we have sung fairly recently, but it was just so apt. Oh, how good it is. So apt to what we were thinking of this morning. So let's stay standing up, if you're able to stand, and we'll sing these two songs through.
Yeah.
thank you and praise you for the rich privilege of being here this morning with all that it entails and the encouragement that it gives. We thank you that you have put believers together and not left them alone. We pray that you would help us to work this through in our own lives for the good of our souls, for the honour of your name, but also for the blessing of others. In Jesus we pray, Amen.